Alright, Isaiah 51 is a very interesting chapter. We usually sing verse 11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. But I'll give you a quick context of this particular passage before we just have a short 3 points from verse number 12 and number 13. Okay, if you look at verse 1 and 2, you will realize that this particular chapter has to do with God encouraging the remaining people of Israel, okay, to look back to where they came from. Alright, if you look at verse number 1, God says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." In other words, God is saying, listen to me, all you who want to do the right thing. And I believe as we come tonight, the reason why you're here is because you want to hear the word of God. And so, I believe God is speaking to us tonight, okay? For those who will follow after righteousness, okay? "Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." That means this has to do with the past, the roots. In other words, God is saying, listen to me, those who are following after righteousness. And God says, I want you to look back to where you came from. I want you to look back to where you came from. Brother Johnny, how do you know? You look at verse 2. "Look unto Abraham your father, unto Sarah that bare you." Alright, God is saying, look back to your roots. Look back to where you came from. Look back to where you came from. Now, if you understand what they are going through now, if you understand, the Assyrians have come and have destroyed Israel, okay? The northern kingdom. And so many of the Jewish people were actually going into captivity. And therefore, they were discouraged because everything that they had were gone. The entire nation of Israel, at least the nation that's north, were taken away. But you know, God encourages these children and saints, look, look back to where you came from, okay? Now, look at verse number 3. This is an interesting thing. Because the Bible says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Now, children of Israel were going through a hard time, okay? They have lost their Syrians. The Syrians were a very cruel army. But then in verse 3, what God said is, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion." What does that mean? It simply means that in whatever situation, Israel, you have future. Because even though you are in the wilderness now, God will comfort you and he will comfort your waste places. He will bring comfort where you cannot find comfort. And that's something that as a Christian we can be thankful for. Okay? Here, the question I have is, are we worried about the future? Are we worried based on the things that are now? And sometimes when we look at the situations that we are in, it's kind of like scratching our heads. Lord, am I ever going to get out of this? Not one of the things as humans, I think we always want the best. Agree? We always want the best. But when things are not going well, it's kind of like, oh, what's going to happen? We begin to be worried. Okay, we begin to be worried. Now, what's the meaning of worry? Anyone? You all look very worried. What's the meaning of worry? What does worry mean? Anyone? Sorry? Anxious? Okay. Well, what does any others? What does worry mean? Full of anxiety? Okay. Anxious for anxiety. What else? Worry means? Yes, it definitely has to do with anxiety. Okay. Worry has to do with being troubled, okay? Meaning inside your heart, you are very agitated. You cannot sit still. Things are happening. We are all, and all of us usually go through that when certain things happen. Some people, oh no, exams coming, right? Well, piano exams coming, right? for Titus. He may be anxious, he may be worried, oh no, am I going to pass, am I going to do well, is the teacher going to be taller than me, is he going to be good looking, is he going to scare me, is he going to be strict, is he going to be lenient, okay, those taking exams, oh no, am I going to have blackout and things like this, or maybe for parents at home, am I going to make it through this month, am I going to be able to make ends meet, worry. Now, God encourages us here in this passage not to worry about the future, but to trust Him with it. Let's turn to Matthew 6:27. Okay, there will be some verses that I'll ask some of us to read, okay? But But in Matthew 6:27, God encourages us not to worry about the future. By the way, worrying is a sin. Did you know that? Worrying is a sin because it dishonors God. It means that you don't trust God. It's actually a sin. It goes against everything that God stands for. But God gently encourages us through many passages not to worry. Okay? In Matthew 6:27, let's read all together. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? What does this mean? What does this verse mean? What does this verse mean? What does this verse mean? Which of you, by taking thought, mean by worrying, can add one cubit unto your stature? One cubit means, this is a good verse for those who are short. What does this verse mean? Okay, that would be the application already, which is true, okay? But in this verse, Jesus is saying, how many of you, by worrying, you can grow a little bit? What Jesus is saying, you cannot change any situation by worrying. You can't. You can by praying, you can by actively doing certain things, but by worrying, it's not going to work. And Jesus encourages us, you can't make any changes anyway, so why worry? Why waste your energy, basically? It is said that 60 to 70% of what we worry will not come to pass. Does it make sense? Out of 10 things, 7 things that we worry about will never happen. Oh, am I going to get too fat? Oh, am I going to get too thin? Oh, am I going to have enough to eat? That kind of thing, you know. It's not going to happen. Okay? Well, some might. But it's only 30%. No, the encouragement is that God says, don't worry. 3 points from Isaiah 51 verse 12 and 13 to encourage us not to be worried. Number one, God is a God of all comfort. In your worry, God is a God of all comfort. Look at verse 12. God says, I am He that comforteth you. Where have you heard this verse before? Where have you heard this verse before? In? Recently? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Remember, God the Father of all comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let me just read there. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God is the origin of comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, what does comforted mean? Comfort simply means the ability to encourage. Okay, let's say if you are troubled and your heart is going up and down, you are anxious, you cannot be stable. Comfort comes in to stabilize the whole thing. How many of you know what is Parkinson's disease? I think some of you will know Parkinson's disease. Do you know what's a manifestation of Parkinson's disease? It's basically a lot of trembling. Okay, what happens is that the basal ganglia, which is actually a part in the brain, has been damaged. And basal ganglia controls coordination. Okay? If you actually hold a... Do you realize all of us have a bit of Parkinson's? Let me prove it to you. I'm holding the paper still. But it's actually not 100% still. Can you see? It's actually moving. It's actually moving. Can you see? The paper is actually moving. It's as still as you get. As you get more tired, what happens is it gets worse. Okay? Now what happens is because the muscles that are holding it up and trying to balance will always continuously have to coordinate to hold the paper straight. So you can see the paper is actually moving. What happens in basal ganglia damage is that you really cannot control your movements. Does that make sense? That's why Parkinson's disease people, they walk like this. Okay? Now what does that have to do with comfort? For a person with Parkinson's disease, the way to actually stabilize them is to put weights. Let's say if they... have you ever tried eating like this? Like if you really have Parkinson's disease and you take the spoon and you scoop. I've seen this in hospital before, whereby the more precise the action needs to be. That means, you know, when you scoop, right, you have to go straight into your mouth. It's a very accurate action. The more accurate it is, the more tremors you get. And the way you stabilize that is to actually put weights. So that when it comes, the weight actually stabilizes it so that you can actually eat. Does it make sense? The comforter is like this. You know, when our heart is like all over the place, God says, God doesn't say chill. I know you all like this. God says cool. God says, God comes in to comfort us with the necessary things we need to calm our hearts down. Okay? I can't say I'm not 100% worried for the new place, because I have the, for myself, there's that burden of making sure things happen. But at the same time, I'm not worried, because I know God's in charge, not me. All I need to do is to do what I'm supposed to do. But God is the God of all comfort. And Christian, we have to understand, whenever you're not too sure what's going to happen, whenever the surroundings is a wasteland, whenever the surroundings is all over the place and you have no control over, remember firstly, God is the God of all comfort. Then number two, based on verse 12, after God says, tell them, I'm the God that comforteth you, God actually asks a question. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man we shall make as grass, and forgetteth the Lord thy maker? You know what God is asking? When God asks, who art thou? The phrase, who art thou, has the idea, is your faith really that small? Who are you that your faith is so small? Second point is this, where is your faith? You know, sometimes we worry, right? You know, in this verse, God is actually asking us, who art thou? The word who art thou have the idea of God reminding us of who we are. Of who we are. The who art thou has the idea of, is your faith really that small? So that you are afraid of a man who shall die, who is as a blade of grass, that today is here and tomorrow cast into the oven. God is asking us, why are you so worried? Don't you know who you are? Christian, do you know who you are? Let's take a few verses, okay? Maybe you have read Jacob, you can turn to John chapter 1, 12, Jeremiah, Hebrews 4, verse 12, Sister Jamie, you can turn to Philippians 4, 13, and then Joseph. You can turn to Isaiah 49, verse 15. Okay, Isaiah 49, 15. So what is our position? Because Jehovah God asks, who art thou? When God asks that, He's not asking you, who are you? He's asking you in the idea of, do you remember your position? Do you know who you are? Okay? What is our position? John chapter 1, verse 12. Loud and clear. So what is our position as a Christian? We are the children of God. Jehovah God asks you, who are you? Our answer is, God, we are your children, number one. Hebrews 4, 12. Wrong, Hebrews 4, 16, sorry. Hebrews 4, 16, sorry.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay, what is your position? We are the children of God and we have the privilege of prayer. We have the privilege of accessing God's presence. We have the privilege of accessing God's presence. I think the story is told, I can't remember whether it's Brother John Yates or someone whereby when I think it was Abraham Lincoln was having a big cabinet meeting with all his ministers or whoever, and suddenly there was a knock on the door and say, there's someone here to see you. He said, can't you see I'm in a meeting? And then he said, but it's your son. And then Abraham Lincoln said, well, then everything has to stop. Allow the son to come in. We have the privilege of accessing the presence of God. Think about that for a while. We have the privilege. Who are you? We are people who are child of God that have the privilege of going into the presence of God. If you are a Christian and have spiritual ears, hear this. God wants you to come and use that privilege, okay? Philippians 4:13. We are the children of God who have the privilege of prayer and who have the promises of God to overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that was what Paul says. In the context of Philippians 4, I think I may have shared before, it's interesting. All of us will oftentimes say, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what Paul was actually referring to in Philippians 4? Paul was saying, I can overcome, I can do all things which Jesus wants me to do in the midst of all my trials. In other words, because remember before that, Paul was saying, I have learned to be abased, I have learned to abound. Okay, in everything, I have learned to suffer need. You know what Paul is saying? In the context of suffering, Paul is still able to have the right attitude. That's what he's saying. I can do all things. I can still be contented. I can still trust God. I can still read the Bible. I can still serve God, even though the trials are with me. You know, that's a very encouraging thing, because many Christians oftentimes give this reason. You know, you cannot understand this situation that I've gone through, and therefore, I don't think I can do this anymore. Not Paul. You know what Paul will say? I don't care what I go through. I can do all things still. I can still serve God. I can still go winning souls. I can still be faithful, because it is God that strengthens me. Okay? But question is, why do Christians lose faith? Why do we sometimes lose our faith? Isaiah 51 actually tells us in verse number 13. Two reasons. Number one, verse 12, number one. Two reasons why we forget and lose our faith: because of our forgetfulness that God is the Almighty. Notice here in verse 13, and forgetteth the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Why do Christians lose faith? Firstly, because of forgetfulness. We forget that our God is the Almighty God. We forget that our God made the heavens and the earth. We forget that God owns everything. Alright, I was very encouraged by the theology in FBI and especially the teaching about who God is. And I was sharing with some, I think I was sharing with was it Jaira or someone else. I will talk about, can you remember what's El Elyon? Those who came for FBI? What's El Elyon? El? The strong? Strongest, strong one. Okay, I think I taught this before, and it's a. You know what? El Elyon, the name of God. God is the strongest, strong one. He's a strong one already, but he's the strongest, strong one. You think about that? God is ultimate strength. And there's no one that can topple him. He's our God. He's our Father. You know what? Many Christians forget that. Many Christians forget that. Christians lose faith because they forget that our God is Almighty. The Bible says in verse number 13, and forgetteth the Lord thy Maker, Creator, that stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. He is Creator God. And if I don't remember wrongly, in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It talks about God being the Creator, all-powerful one, the Almighty. Okay? Number one, Christians forget. They lose faith because they forget that our God is Almighty. But number two, Christians lose faith because of fear. Look at verse number 13, Isaiah 51. And has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Number two, Christians lose faith because of fear. We look at the situation more than we look at the Savior. Isn't that true? We look at the situation more than look at the Savior. Oh no, am I going to get a job? Oh no, and I'm going to make ends meet at the end of the month. Oh no, things are happening and nothing seems to be moving. We look at the situation more than the Savior. You know, one of the hardest things as a Christian is not to look at the situation. But when you look at the situation, sometimes you forget to deal with the situation. We need, as Christians, we need to learn. Say, Lord, this is a situation, but God, you need to intervene in that situation. And that's sometimes so hard because things don't seem to be moving. But when you understand a few things, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. And I like this one. I was just studying a little bit. And Matthew chapter 14 is a situation with our dear old Peter. Okay, Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 13. Let me just read. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth. Oh, so wrong. Let me just go down a bit more. Okay, sorry. Verse 22, sorry. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples again to a ship. Okay. And this is Jesus walking on water to go before him in the other side. Verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. It is suggested by some commentators that Jesus knew what the disciples were going to go through in the Sea of Galilee. That's why he went out to pray for them. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. And then, when the evening was come, verse 23, he was alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, was very strong. And in the fourth watch of the night, what is the fourth watch of the night? Huh? Okay, three. How do you know? Oh, okay. Oh, you wrote it down. Okay, so the first watch is 7. Okay, it's first watch is for 7 to 9, and then 10 to 12, and then 1 to 2. No, it's in the quarters, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. Okay, so the fourth watch, okay? That means there is a time when people have dreams. That's a time when your eyes see things. That's the time when it's scary, it's totally pitch dark. And remember, they don't have lighthouses and don't have lights. It's totally dark. Okay, and even if there's any light, it's candlelight, and it's raining, it's going to be gone. And at that particular time, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Ah, it's a spirit!" Why? Those who understand this, it's interesting for me because when I did the life of Christ in my studies, in the Jewish culture, they believe when you see spirits, it means it's the spirit of the underworld. In other words, you're going to die. That's why they were screaming, you know. And the situation warrants that they're going to die because it's going to sing and the waves are strong and it's contrary and it's 3 to 6 a.m. and there's a spirit walking. And they believe the Jewish spirit undertaker is coming to get you because you're going to die. But you know what Jesus said in verse 27? And straight away, I like that. When you're afraid, think about that for us. When you're afraid as a Christian, sometimes God will speak to you immediately. Don't be afraid, because that's what happens here. Straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it's I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come," and when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched off his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" 4 quick points. Number 1, God calls us to him. Number 2, our life is a life of faith. When we walk, it's as if our life is on water. Okay, our life is a life of faith. We sink when we see the wind, the situations. We forget that Lord Jesus is still in control. Jesus is still on the water. And it's interesting, the moment Peter sank, Jesus straight away reached out his hand. Can I say this? I believe with all my heart. When you are sinking, Jesus reached out his hand straight away. Because the Bible says, God will not allow the righteous to be moved. God will not allow us. Though you fall, you will not be utterly cast down. We will fall as Christians. Sometimes we get discouraged. We get disillusioned by things. God says, but you will not be utterly cast down. You won't be destroyed. The devil can step you all the way. It's not going to happen. If you're a genuine believer, just like me as a dad, will not allow my children to be stomped on totally, and I will come out and fight on their behalf. God does the same. Okay? Christians, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't look at the situation so much. Yeah, look at the situations and then look at God. God, what do you think of the situation? Sometimes we forget. We oftentimes use our own thinking to determine the situation. But in Isaiah 49 verse 15, Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should have not have compassion on the son of a womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God promises that. It is very hard for a nursing mother to forget the child. Okay, it's just amazing for mothers who take care of their children. I remember when Lydia would be so spot on. I was just sleeping and then she would say, hey, the baby's crying for food. Come here. Yeah. And true enough, when I went in, yeah, the baby is moving. Only a mother can listen. Okay? God has given certain, chemicals, perhaps hormones, to be able to detect the cry of a baby. Maybe a cry baby hormone or something, you know. That when a child needs something, father will sleep like a pig. Like a log, not like a pig. But mom will, the child needs something. But you know, God even... But unfortunately, today, some mothers don't even care anymore. We have mothers who hurt their own children. You know what God says? Even the mothers who forget. God says, I will not forget you. Christians, take heart to this. God will never forget us. So remember, where is your faith? Okay, remember your position. And finally, encouragingly, we have a future. Look at Isaiah 51 and verse 13, the last part. And where is the fury of the oppressor? That verse indicates a future hope. God is just saying, you know, you're concerned, right? You're concerned that someone is ready to destroy you, right? But you know, at the end, said, so where's the fury of the oppressor? I'm going to take charge of you. You're going to have a future. Okay, you are going to have a future. Let's turn to a few verses. I'll turn to this one. Maybe it's Sister Agnes. You can take Revelation 1:11. And Abraham Song Ling, and third Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And then if Sir Gail, you can turn to Jeremiah 29 verse 13. Then we'll all turn to Philippians 1:6. Revelation 1:11. Okay, Revelation 1:11, I just went to the first part, saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The encouragement, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows what's going to happen when I'm 75 years old, whether or not. God knows the end from the beginning. We know we have a future because God is already there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Okay, we're just doing a study of these few words. Looking unto Jesus, the author. The word author means someone who leads us. Someone who is the captain. And if you put that word in, looking unto Jesus, the captain of our faith. The one who leads us in our faith. Yes, he started. The idea of author, we always have the idea, is he's the one who started our faith. Not just that, he's the one who captains our faith. He's the one who leads us in the faith. Looking unto Jesus, our example, he's the one who leads us in the faith. And then he's the one who finishes it. The word finish means, he has a Greek meaning, has the idea of fulfilling a contract, completing every detail in a contract. That's exciting. It's the same word when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Same word, teleotis. That's how I learned it. Okay, but I think Pastor John is teleotai. But he's the finisher. When Jesus said it is finished, every detail of redemption is finished. But you know, the encouragement here is this. Jesus captains our faith, he leads us in our faith, but not only that, he finishes that faith for us. Every little detail in our life, he's going to make sure it's done. As we yield to him, he completes it, the finisher of our faith. Okay? He is the finisher of the faith in our lives. So, let me just, I think you're looking for a blank to fill, right? He's the finisher of the faith. Okay, he's the finisher of our faith. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the finisher of the faith. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Yeah, I'm missing out a verse. It's actually verse 11. Can you read 11, please? Jeremiah 29, 11. Okay. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29, 11, is actually talking about the end of the 70 years captivity. And God is encouraging the Jewish people and saying, look, submit to your captivity. That is a consequence of your sin. But at the end of 70 years, I promise you, I will bring you out. I will bring you out. Can I say this to every Christian who have a worry in his heart? God says, I will bring you out of that worry. I will bring out that trial. Whether in this life or not, that's up to Him. But God says, I will bring you out of that trial. Because when God puts you there, He's not going to leave you there. He wants to make sure that you grow. He wants to make sure that He accomplishes His plan. You know, sometimes it's hard when God uses you. When you see in the economy, some things that have happened, and you realize that God is actually using you as a pawn. In other words, as something, to us we think He's using us as a pawn, but you know what? The fact that God uses us as a pawn is a privilege already. You know what's a pawn? Pawn is, you know, in international chess, English chess, pawn is a soldier, lah, okay? We call it a pawn, okay? And sometimes pawn is only can move one step in front of me, right? And sometimes you say, God, I'm just a pawn. Can I say this, Christian? If God uses us as a pawn, it's already a privilege for the King of Kings to use us. We must have that attitude. For God to even think of using us is already a privilege. Okay? And so in this situation, God has a plan. God has a plan. Okay? And Philippians 1 verse 6, the last one, let's all turn there. I think you're all there. Philippians 1 verse 6. Let's read together. Philippians 1 and verse 6. And then we'll read it together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says, look, Philippian church, I know when God started this work in you, He will do it until we see Jesus at the judgment seat. In other words, God is going to finish everything that He's done. Everything that He's done. Okay? We have a future. Christian, are you worried? What are you worrying about today? What are you worrying about today? You don't have to share, but I know in your hearts, maybe some of us may have that kind of worry. But what are you worrying about today? Your future, your studies, your career, whether there's enough money, especially for fathers, when you leave the house, of course, mothers will be concerned as well. Children will be concerned for other things. What are you worried about? God reminds us, number one, He's a God of all comfort. Number two, He reminds us of our position in Christ. And number three, He reminds us we all have a future as His people. As His people, we all have a future. So what are you worried about? May we be able to tell God that, God, help us, help me not to worry. If you are my Heavenly Father, I don't have to worry. Alright? Any worries? Anyone have anything to share, or maybe something that God has encouraged you with? And it was like, okay, we have to get it done, because otherwise, if week after week we have short circuit, it's not very good in terms of testimony, in terms of worship service, it can get interrupted and all that. So, but I think on Sunday everything was fine because we switched off 2 aircons upstairs. But then the thing began to get very heated already, to the point that there was some smoke. Alright, and then we saw some smoke behind. So after the service, we called. I think Uncle Roland actually informed the owner. And the owner is pretty nice because he attends, I think, Yishun Christian Church or something, I cannot remember. He came down with his friend, who is also an electrician, apparently. So we came here at 3, and we were there, and he was telling. And the friend was very good because he says, you can call the PUB because our electrical wire is actually taken. There's actually 2 parts to the whole thing. For that, for me, it was just kind of, oh no, that means we have to. For me, the first thing, I've got to spend money. to fix the electrical circuitry. Okay, it's probably in the hundreds because they actually have to test, probably spend a few days, that kind of thing. But God dealt with that, free of charge. And it's as if God saying, where is your faith? Okay, in the small way, where is your faith? You know, can I encourage you? God takes care of the electrical circuitry. God knows what to do, when to do it. Okay? Any questions? Get encouragement from Him. Because Thy Word teaches us that You are the God of all comfort. And Lord, through Your question, who art Thou? It reminds us of our position in Christ. And many times we forget because we live by our sight more than our faith. And God, we thank You, Lord, that we have a future because of who You are. Lord, I pray that You encourage our hearts tonight. So eyes closed, heads bowed. I just ask You, is there anyone with a worry? You say, Brother Johnny, just pray for me. That God will teach me to surrender that worry to Him. Is there anyone like this? Amen, I see that heart. I see that hand. Anyone else? Is there a worry that's on your heart that you say, Brother Pastor, just pray for me. Is there anyone else? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, I commit these two brethren into Your hands who have indicated by their hands that there's something in their heart troubling them. God, You are the one who sees to the heart. I don't know what the need is. But I pray that tonight's message, Lord, tonight's devotion will help us. The Lord, even though the storms are strong, Lord Jesus, You were still standing on the water when Peter sunk. But Lord, You will be with us. You will help us. You promise You will be with us. Father, I pray for the situation with these two brethren. I ask You, Lord, to encourage them. Give them the courage to trust You. Even though they may not be able to see how it's going to work out, help them to know the King of the universe knows how to work it out. And that God, they are Your child. And that, Lord, You will be in charge. You will take care of them. But help them, Lord. It could be that You just want them to learn to trust You today. And so, Lord, we thank You. For the rest of us, help us to put our faith 100%. Whether it's for our children, future, finances, career, family, even the church ministries, Lord. We need Your help. But we know You will because it's Your church. So we thank You for Your precious word that never change. We want to put our faith, Lord, as ambassador, into Your hands. We thank You for what You're going to do now as we take some prayer requests and pray. We ask You to be among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.